Welcome to Christian Natural Health with naturopathic Dr. Lauren DeVille. Christian Natural Health is the podcast on how to get and stay healthy, God's way. You'll hear topics on nutrition, exercise, sleep, avoiding toxicity, meditating on scripture, what supplements to take, stress management, defeating anxiety and worry, how to reconcile Eastern medicine approaches with Christianity, and a whole lot more. Now, here's your host, Dr. Lauren.
Welcome back to another episode of Christian Natural Health. Today, I am excited to have Nate Palmer with us. Nate is highly passionate about helping humans perform at a higher level. He also happens to be a dad, husband, and the number one best-selling author of Passport Fitness and the Million Dollar Body Method. Nate helps business owners and entrepreneurs improve their physique, finances, and family time using fitness and nutrition as force multipliers. He is a coach, speaker, and writer whose work has been popularized in media outlets such as the Huffington Post, Testosterone Nation, Ask Men, Breaking Muscles, Stack Media, and Thrive Global. Welcome, Nate. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you, that intro.
Yeah, for sure. So let's jump into talking about nutrition. So tell us kind of the difference between building a nutrition framework versus doing a diet.
Yeah, good question. So basically what like kind of the way I like to approach nutrition for my clients and the people that I've worked with in the past is trying to help them build a lifestyle rather than like going on a diet. And I know that sounds like really just kind of trite and something that we all like want to do but it really came from, I was working at a gym for a while in Seattle that was amazing. It had this like cutting edge medical weight loss program. And their big thing was that like most diets, like people will revert, like 90% of the time, people will revert back to previous habits, regain the weight that they lost. And this particular weight loss program, they had a 50% success rate, which doesn't really sound that good, but is so much different from the industry average. So, like, just kind of what I've seen over the last decade of working with clients is that anyone can lose weight, right? You force feed yourself, like, tofu and broccoli, and you run stairs every single morning for an hour, and you're going to lose some weight.
Right.
But at the end of the day, are you going to be able to maintain that? So, like, and if not, does it the weight loss even matter? Or is it just kind of like a vanity metric. So I like to help people try to understand the kind of the intersection of fitness and nutrition and then the other things that are actually important to them, right? Like what does it do for their family? What does it do for your finances?
Right.
How do we connect it to things that really matter to you so that at the end of the day you are continuing to maintain a lifestyle?
Right. So it's a motivation thing basically.
Yeah. And like that's kind of where it started. And then, going back to your question about the framework, it's like, how do we now take those ideas, which, I mean, sound really good on paper, and then turn it into something that you can easily sustain and that is not overly complicated and doesn't involve you peeing on a strip to measure your ketones.
Right, absolutely. So let's talk about targeting visceral fat. Why do you feel like it's so important to start there with a new nutrition framework?
Yeah, so I think that visceral fat is one of the leading health issues of our time right now. And I think that it's for several reasons. I mean, if you ask like most men and women and they're like asking where they want to lose weight, they're always going to point to their belly or their love handles. And, from an aesthetics point of view, okay, I can definitely see why that would be something that's important to people. But from a biochemistry point of view and just like how the human body functions, that visceral fat is kind of your body's second level of defense against organ fat. So you gain fat first, and you ground the skin around your stomach, you're like, oh, like I've got a little bit of weight to lose. And then I've got that subcutaneous fat. So that's the fat that's right under the skin. Really no big deal. Like kind of depending on where you're at with like what you want, what your body to look like. The next thing is visceral fat. And visceral fat is what happens underneath the skin and the muscles and starts like coming around your organs. And that type of fat can actually produce these really negative molecules called cytokines, which cause inflammation, which can like cause you to be like less focused. A lot of people will talk to me about getting that kind of that midday slump and getting that brain fog. And a lot of that is just because we have unhealthy levels of cytokines in our body. So you just want to, from a performance perspective, from an aesthetics perspective, I think we need to start there. And then if you look like one level deeper, a lot of times people who are dealing with large amounts of visceral fat have metabolic syndrome or what's called insulin resistance.
Yep.
So their bodies are not even using the food that you're giving it. So you can be giving it like the healthiest food in the world, but your body's still going to be partitioning those nutrients into fat rather than putting them back into muscle or using it for fuel. So until we get a handle on these sorts of things, it can be very frustrating for a lot of people who feel like they're constantly on a cycle of like diet, stop dieting, like diet, lose weight, stop dieting, gain weight, you know? So until we address the root cause, get people back to being what's called insulin sensitive so that their body can actually use the food that they're giving it in the right way, it's very difficult to get long-term results without dealing with those underlying issues.
Sure, absolutely. So tell us a little bit more about, so insulin resistance, there's a lot of factors to that with respect to metabolic syndrome and stuff, but why is that such a bad thing that you specifically want to target?
Yeah, great question. And that's, I think that, like, number one, it lays the foundation. So if you're not targeting that, if you are just kind of like fighting your body and communicating to it, like, okay, we need to burn fat at like and lose weight at all costs, and you never really address the underlying metabolic syndrome, the weight's going to come back. Secondly, I think that it's going to allow you getting out of that metabolic syndrome, getting more insulin sensitive, is going to allow you to lose weight more easily, which is, you know, what everyone wants, you know, to have those good results without feeling like you're always constantly banging your head against a wall. And then third, I think it's going to allow you to live your life, right? You know, because for most of us, like, we don't love being in the gym. We don't love, like, meal prepping and some of these other things that like, trainers seem to really enjoy. So if you can't go out and, you know, have a beer with your friends or, like, you know, go to a restaurant with your family and do these things, and you constantly have this track playing in the back of your mind about, like, oh, gotta watch what I eat. Gotta be sure I'm eating, not enough calories, and can't have that and can't have this. You create this, like, really negative thought process and relationship with food. So, again, it's all about, like, getting back to doing the things that you love. That's why I talk about using fitness and nutrition as force multipliers. Because, like, yeah, they're cool for their own sake, but if we can attach it to actually something that's important to you, then it's going to become a lifestyle. And rather than just, like, a diet that you slog through before you give up and have a bagel.
Decide you're finally going to be over it, right? So,
right.
So you also talk about this idea that calories are not just calories, they're communication. Can you expound on that idea a little bit?
Yeah, and I think this is kind of like this is kind of that, like, that line between, like, nutrition and biohacking, for lack of a better word. But, like, everything you put in your body is communicating something to it, okay? And we can go real metaphysical with this if you wanted to, and talk about how, like, even the media you're absorbing and what you're reading and the music you're listening to all really matter. But, like, just my food perspective, calories signal to your body to do specific things. So when you ingest protein, you know, from an egg, from chicken, from something like that, what you're going to do, you're telling your body is, hey, let's repair and rebuild. So you're going to be, like, if you do a hard workout, that protein is going to help you rebuild your muscles. Protein also breaks down into enzymes, which help with a ton of different cool body functions, which are really essential. If you ingest some fat, what you're telling your body is, we need some of this for low-impact activities. So walking, reading, studying. Things that are not going to take us, like, are not going to make us sweat. And if you're ingesting carbohydrates, you're telling your body, hey, we're about to do some high-impact activities. We need to recover from something like high-impact. So something where you've been out training for a run or a marathon or you've been in the gym doing things like that. So when you eat something, just realizing and understanding, like, the effect that it can have on your body, right? I always, like equate this to just, like, the awareness. Like, you know, Lauren, have you ever had an experience where you are, like, listening to a song and you always thought it was one way, and then you, like, actually read the lyrics and you thought, and you realized it was another way? Uh-huh. For me, that's like, I think it's like Destiny's Child, where it's like, don't go, Jason, waterfalls. And I was like, Jason, yeah, you better stick around. No, it's not Jason, chasing waterfalls. Don't go chasing waterfalls. And now I can never hear it the other way again, because now I have the awareness.
Right.
Of what the actual words are.
Right.
So similar to that, like, I want to bring awareness to what is a calorie? What are carbohydrates doing? What is fat doing? Because once you learn it, it's very difficult to go back to unlearn that or, you know, start thinking the opposite way.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that depending on what your goals are, your macronutrient ratios are going to look differently. Is that what you're meaning specifically?
Yeah, definitely. And also, like, yeah, because, like, if someone's goal is to, like, gain some weight, and they're on a really low carb diet, they're never signaling to their body, hey, it's time to rebuild and refuel after our workouts. Mm-hmm. So just making sure that your goals and your intake match up, because I feel like so often we see people who have a specific goal, but they train in a way that's not conducive to their goals, and then they eat in a way that's not conducive to their training or their goals, and they wonder why they're not getting results and wonder why they're so frustrated.
Gotcha. Okay, so then walk us through a little bit of what the differences would be between a protocol diet and a weight training protocol or an exercise protocol for building muscle versus losing fat.
I'm sorry, did you say a nutrition or exercise protocol?
Kind of a little bit of both, yeah. So the whole bunch of questions lumped into one on that one.
Okay, cool. So kind of from a nutritional perspective, you're trying to gain muscle. You need to give your body a reason to do so. So number one, you need to start with training. You need to break down, the muscle tissue you want to build up. And one of the best ways to do that is through a technique called progressive overload, which is just a fancy way of saying get stronger over time. Do a little bit better every single time you go to the gym. So a lot of people think that a workout should make them sweaty, should make them tired, should make them sore. But that's not really the case. If you want to build muscle or even maintain muscle in a fat loss, like a fat loss regime, you want to make sure that you are just working on getting a little bit better, getting a little bit stronger in key exercises every single time you go to the gym or lift weights. So I always like to pick one body pull movement, one body push movement, one leg movement, and then work on those until you plateau, and then switch them up. And I think in a nutshell, it's one of the easiest ways to see progress over time. Yep. Just pick one, and then the rest of your workout can be devoted to, feeling good, getting a little bit of pump, just moving around a little bit. But I think that if you just pick that one exercise and get stronger over time, that is a totally underrated, extremely simple way of thinking about gaining muscle.
Sure.
Yeah. And in a fat loss protocol, I think that's going to be the same too. You want to still make sure that muscle is expensive for your body. It doesn't just other people say, I don't want to lift weights to get too big. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to get too big for a decade. It's really hard.
Right.
So yeah, muscle's expensive for your body. You need to do specific things to grow muscle. So your body, letting go of muscle when you're trying to lose weight is not conducive to your metabolism, not conducive to your goals. You want to look toned, not just a smaller version of your former self. So making sure that you're even in a fat loss phase, you still are doing 2 to 4 days per week of some resistance training to maintain muscle.
I was going to say, so from a diet standpoint, so what would you do in each of those different scenarios from a macronutrient standpoint?
Yeah, good question. And again, Penny, you said it earlier. It depends on your goals and it depends on your lifestyle.
Right.
So if someone is a construction worker and they're outside all day and they're working physically for 10 hours a day, their nutrition protocol for weight loss is going to be way different from those of us who are sitting at a desk or at a computer for 8-10 hours a day.
Right.
So most of my clients are kind of the latter. They're entrepreneurs, they're business owners, they're at a computer all the time, they're sitting down, they don't get a ton of movement. So in that case, I'll always encourage people to match your nutrition to your outputs. How much are you moving? How much are you walking around? How much activity are you getting on a daily basis? Because on days when you're not getting a ton of activity, you're not working out, you're not doing any cardio, and you're not really moving from work, you don't need that many calories to sustain yourself. And you probably don't need that many carbohydrates, because like I said earlier, those are high impact fuel to help us either prepare for or recover from big movements, big bouts of activity. Even so, but on days when you are moving around and you are doing your workouts, you still want to be able to recover from those. So on those days, I would structure yourself to have a little bit more carbohydrates, a little bit less fats. Proteins, I find, should stay about the same for most people most of the time. And then you kind of build the carbohydrates and the fats to fit your activity level. The science says 0.88 grams of protein per pound of body weight is about optimal.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to round that up to the nearest school number, which is 1. So if you just go with 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight, you're probably not getting that right now. Mm-hmm. And that's a good goal to start at least shooting for.
Gotcha. Okay, sounds good. So what is your take on breakfast?
Good question. So I've gone back and forth on breakfast in my career. During my career, at first I was breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Don't skip it. They show that You know, most people who, like, you know, suffer from obesity are skipping breakfast. You got to have it. And then I got really hard into the 16-8 intermittent fasting. I was like, breakfast? You don't need that. What a joke. That's a scam from the big Pop-Tart industry. But now I'm kind of back to, I feel like once you hit about a decade, every answer is it depends, which is really annoying.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
But I do feel like for the people that I've worked with over the past couple of years who are business owners, entrepreneurs, people who need focus and performance, not just physically but mentally, I found that breakfast it can be optimal for achieving that. And we just want to structure it in a way that gives you the results you're looking for, gives you the outputs that you're looking for. So what are you communicating to your body with a breakfast of, like, Pop-Tarts or waffles or even something like grabbing a banana out the door? Well, you're saying, like, hey, we're gonna do some activity, we need some carbohydrates, and if your body is A, insulin resistant, and B, you're not gonna actually do any exercise in the morning, then most of that will get stored as fat regardless. So instead, we flip that and we'll do something that's higher protein and higher fat. Again, signaling to our body repair and build. And also, let's get prepped for some low impact activities. Let's get prepped for the work we're about to do. Let's get some more mental focus. Let's get that mental acuity going. So, and then also having a high protein, high fat breakfast can allow you to be satiated longer throughout the morning and the afternoon. And I always feel like if you want to get more done, eat less. So if you can structure your day so you don't have to eat for like the bulk of your work hours, and you don't feel like you're like starving or getting that, like, you know, hangry sensations, then like that's a huge win. Because every time you eat some food or you digest any capacity, you're pulling blood from your brains and your appendages to your gut for digestion. So you can lose like up to 70% of your mental focus, you know, by going to the break room and, you know, grabbing half a donut or whatever.
So back to the intermittent fasting idea. So that's, of course, you know, trending as well. What would you think in terms of someone who tried to do, say, like a bulletproof coffee in the morning instead of breakfast, because that is the fat? Would you, are you on board with that? Do you not like that idea?
I'm on board with the idea. I really hate bulletproof coffee, to be honest with you. I don't understand how the idea of having 500 calories of butter in your coffee is now considered as healthy. And I can see why some people like it. You know, I get the idea behind it. But if you're putting MCT oil, which is a fat, and you're putting butter in your coffee, like, and you're like, oh, that was a nice healthy breakfast that didn't leave me very satisfied.
Sure.
It's just another like confusing element to fitness.
Right.
So if I'm like gonna be, I encourage people. I call it $1 million body coffee. Because, you know, because I get to name stuff,
sure.
You know, if I create it. But I like coffee with a little bit of MCT oil in it. And then I like, instead of putting the butter in, I'll put a scoop of collagen peptides in there. Collagen is just basically another type of protein that's really really easy to digest and absorb. It also doesn't leave your coffee like clumpy or anything like that. So MCT oil is great because it digests in the gallbladder, which some people have postulated that can actually kick off or trigger fat burning in your body. And then the collagen, again, is helping your body recover and rebuild. And then collagen also gives you a little bit more of a boost to your skin, hair, bones, nails, things like that, which I think from, you know, an aesthetic perspective, again, we're looking for, like, the healthy glow and things.
Sure, absolutely. So and you also state that training should make you better, not skinnier. Definitely agree. But can you expound on that idea a little bit?
Yeah, so kind of going back to what I mentioned earlier about improving performance, because I feel like this is something that I hear from a lot of people, and like, you know, I think a lot of women are the most guilty of this is like, again, looking for that boot camp, so those real beat downs, like, how hard can I push myself in my Peloton, how much cardio can I do, how sweaty can I get, because at the end of the day, if all you did was just a bunch of like hardcore cardio, you're not going to really increase much of your muscle tone, you're not going to really increase much of your strength, and it's not like those things are mandatory or like the end all be all, but if you just become like a smaller version of your former self, I think you've missed a big opportunity.
Sure.
Because I what I really love is seeing humans and women in particular just getting stronger, seeing what their bodies are capable of. It's like the most amazing thing in the world is like seeing a female who was like, you know, spending so much time on the treadmill or the elliptical, hit their first set of 3 pull-ups and being like, look what I did. Look how strong I got.
Right.
And so, like, it not only does it, like, you know, that builds muscle and improves your posture and all these other great things, but also the, like, the self-esteem and confidence you build from getting stronger and seeing progression and seeing what you're capable of on a daily basis. I don't think you put a price on that, and I really don't think you can, like encapsulate how valuable that can be for, you know, the psyche of a human.
Sure. Well, segueing into that, so you sort of alluded to mindset. Talk a little bit about how your mindset and changing your words might impact your ability to achieve these kinds of goals.
Yeah, that's a great, great question. So I think that a lot of times our habits are a result of our, like, our self-talk and kind of our self-identity, right? So if you're like, oh, I'm always a person who blanks. I never get to this. And you kind of put yourself in a box by saying these things about yourself and reinforcing things which are not necessarily true, but are things that you, like, have just noticed about yourself or continue, like, to say, then you can find yourself in a pattern where you're never allowing yourself to grow in a way that you've never grown before. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Like, what we believe tends to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. So we'll end up getting more of what it is that we're believing about ourselves. And, you know.
100%. And I feel like a lot of people are like, well, it's just not true. I don't love exercise. And I'm like, well, it's not true. You've probably liked some form of exercise in the past. And if it's like, if I hate exercise and I love exercise are equally, like, nebulous, which one is going to serve you?
Right, exactly. Which,
so, like, I think the thing is, like, you got to change your identity about certain behaviors. So you're like rather than being like, oh, I just can't help myself. I always have sweet coffee or sugary coffee when I wake up. You go, no, I'm the kind of person who cares about my health. Mm-hmm. I'm the kind of person who drinks water in the morning. I'm the kind of person who likes going on walks. Mm-hmm. And you start doing that, and when you start being really careful about the words you speak about yourself, yep. And then kind of take that into the thoughts you're actually thinking about yourself, and catch yourself in those moments when you're like, oh, I suck. I'm not good at this. I've never been able to do a pull up. I've never been strong. And you go, nope. I'm actually getting stronger every time I hit the gym. I'm getting better. Like, you know, like I work with a lot of, like, business owners and stuff who are like, oh, I'm not good at technology. And I'm like, that's just not true. You're better at technology than you were 5 years ago, and you'll continue to improve. So why not just say, why don't just reframe that thought as, I improve every time I practice. I get better every time because I'm smart and capable. Like, equally true, one of them serves us at a high level and one of them tears us down.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, words are seeds and you're planting them, so make sure you like your harvest. And if you don't, change it. For sure.
Yep. I love that. It's powerful.
Very cool. So is there anything I have not asked you that you want to make sure that you leave with our audience?
And you asked me a lot of questions really fast.
yeah, we covered a lot of ground in a short amount of time.
Yeah, no, I think you covered a lot of it. I just kind of want to, like, if there's one thing that I could, like, impart, and one thing that I really want to make sure that people understand, is that coming up with a nutritional protocol, like everyone's on a diet, right, Dr. Lauren?
Yep.
Like, whether you're like, doing Whole30 or you're doing keto, or you're just, like, you know, crushing Cheetos from, like, this 7-Eleven, like, you're on a diet. So, like, when we start to, like, A, understand what the food we are taking in does for us, how it makes us feel. But just being a little bit more aware of it and bring that awareness to okay, you had a Cinnabon in the morning. Well, how do you feel at 10 p.m.? How do you feel at 3 p.m. that day? Start, like, thinking about those sorts of things. And then start attaching an outcome to the way we want to eat that transcends weight loss or weight gain or just kind of, like, the way we look. We can start to make this a lifestyle and not just a flash in the pan diet, which I just hate. Like, I just hate that kind of, like, that diet mentality, that yo-yo dieting, roller coastering. It just turns smart, capable people into, like, people with lower self-esteem, people who are a little bit sad. It just, like, it just detracts from every area of life. So if we can figure out how to turn this into a framework that you can just, like, plug and play different foods that you like and make sure that you're, like, delaying gratification in the morning, having your carbohydrates a little later at night, like, your life just improves so much when you don't necessarily have to, like, obsess over every little thing you're eating and keep thinking, have that negative track running of like, oh, I need to lose 10 pounds. I'm not, you know, that sort of thing, which saps your energy, drags you down, doesn't allow you to show up for the people that you love and care about.
Sure, absolutely. And you kind of alluded to this, but a lot of times I have noticed that when I have people do diet diaries and they write down not just what they eat, but how they feel afterwards, that can be really eye-opening just right there. That by itself can be a really big tool to make people aware of how their body is responding when they're putting something inside. So.
Yeah, and like a lot of people don't realize that like they've been walking around with a cold for the last 5 years, 10 years.
Right.
You know, like so many people will tell me like they do, you know, they'll go through the $1 million body program in the book and they'll be like, oh my gosh, I have energy now. I'm sleeping through the night. And I'm like, that's how you should be. That's not miraculous or new. Like that's your baseline, and you just haven't been hitting your baseline. You've been underperforming for a decade.
Right. And you don't know if that's if that's been normal to you. You don't remember what it feels like to be normal.
So. Yeah, I 100% agree.
Sure. So, where can people go to find more about you?
One of the best places to go to hang out is I have an amazing Facebook community called the Million Dollar Body Community.
Okay.
If you go to trainingsystems.com/group, that'll get you there. I'm also on, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, generally under Nate Training, N8Training.
Mm-hmm.
I really thought I was super clever when I came up with that, Lauren, but now I spend like 40% of my time being like, no, it's an 8, like 7, like, no, it's like 7-8.
Right.
So I wish I had done it differently, but yeah, there, LinkedIn, you know, you can catch me on email. I've been on email before.
All right. Sounds good. So I will link in the show notes to your website and to your Facebook group. And thank you so very much, Nate, for your time and all of your great expertise. Really appreciate it.
Awesome. Yeah, you're totally welcome. One last thing for your listeners, if they wanted to. If they want to jump into that group, just go to natrainingsystems.com/group. And then just when you come into the group, there's a couple questions. Just say calendar. And what I'll do is I'll set up anyone who wants with a week-long calendar with my, I call them 7 daily investments.
Mm-hmm.
So it outlines a little bit more structure about like how your breakfast should be, how your lunch should be. It just makes it really, really spelled out. And also, you know, you can grab the book on Amazon. I think it's like $2 right now on ebook, The Million Dollar Body Method.
Okay, I
don't really hold anything back. That's just like straight up all the information you need to be really successful on your own. You don't have to talk to me.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good. So I will link in the show notes to your book as well. All right. Thanks, Nate. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. Talk to you soon.
I want to take a moment to thank the sponsor of Christian Natural Health, Let's Get Checked. Let's Get Checked offers at-home finger prick testing for thyroid testing, including TSH, free T3, and free T4. These are the tests that I routinely run for thyroid screening, as well as to make sure current thyroid treatment is correct. If you're not sure if thyroid is a problem, you might consider running these if you're struggling with fatigue, particularly if you have a hard time getting out of bed despite a good night's sleep. Constipation, dry skin, or hair loss is some of the most common symptoms of hypothyroidism. You can order tests for all three, no doctor's order required, at tryLGC.com/CNH thyroid. You'll get a package containing lancets for your finger and a test tube for collection of a small amount of blood and a prepaid label to ship it back. Once you receive the results, if you have any questions, you can speak to a nurse practitioner on their team. Again, that link is tryLGC.com/CNH thyroid and enter coupon code CNH20 for 20% off your order.
Thanks for listening to Christian Natural Health. This show is run by you, so please write in with topic and guest suggestions for future shows. For more great content, subscribe to Dr. Lauren's blog at www.drlaurendeville.com or follow her on Facebook or Twitter at Dr. Lauren DeVille. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to share it with your friends and give us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It really helps us to stand out so other people can discover great content as well. Have a great week and God bless you.
You're fearfully and wonderfully made. God looks at your heart, not your jean size. Do you know the verses, yet still stress over your body? Oh, I get it. I was raised in church, but I struggled with food, eating disorders, and my body for decades. I'm Heather Creekmore, host of the Compared To podcast, where we talk about all things body image and comparison from a biblical perspective. We get real about the pressure to focus on appearance in a culture where looks seem to matter most. Whether you're wrestling wrinkles or battling the scale, Compared To Who is the show for you. You'll laugh a little and be encouraged a lot. If you're ready to stop comparing and start living, visit lifeaudio.com to listen and subscribe.